Dear friends of Jesus Christ, the text we've just read, the last three verses, 15, 16, and 17, have references to thankfulness. So you said, and be thankful. That's at the very end of verse 15. Then at the end of verse 16, and do this with gratitude in our hearts. And then it finishes giving thanks to God the Father, through him. Be thankful. It underscores that what is fundamental to God's people is thankfulness. Gratitude must flow through our veins. Be thankful. And you'll notice it's a command, not a request. It's not like you saying to your little boy, now say thank you to the nice man. And it's not good advice, like be thankful. You'll live longer. It's less stressful. People will like to be around you. Be thankful. It's not a bit of good advice. This is a command. Be thankful. And when I saw that, of course, I thought, but what about the people who will be there who are having a really difficult time? I mean, what if your relationships are tattered? What if you feel like the person that I heard in a program I've been following where he says, this really ruins the but thank you. The program I was following. Okay, I'm forget all this. Where this person said, I hate my life. I hate my life. It's a rat race. And it's just one thing after another. And always disappointing. I hate my life. I mean, what about people in our church who are struggling with cancer? Be thankful. I mean, we know that as a community because every Sunday when we do the great prayer of Thanksgiving, the Eucharist, we say that it is right and fitting to give thanks at all times and in all places, to give thanks. But if you're commanded to be thankful, won't it seem inauthentic, artificial? Earlier this week, Lou and Jean Taminga sent a little reflection on Thanksgiving, which was very helpful. And in it, they made the observation that Webster Dictionary says that to thank, has the same root as to think. To think. Thankfulness is related to thankfulness, thoughtfulness, mindfulness. And so if we are to be thankful, one thing to keep in mind is that it requires for us to be attentive, mindful. Here's a second thing that I'm thinking is important when we think of this as a command, be thankful. And that is that we as human beings are not passive in our relationship to our emotions. This command assumes that we are not just driven like straw before the wind by our emotions. That even though our emotions are very close to our identity, there is still this self that says, now should you really be this angry? Or do you really want to have that stupid remark by that person ruin the rest of your day? There's a self that can take you by the scruff of the neck and say, now wait a minute, think, look at this. All of this came to me in this book that I've been, I referred to it last Sunday, by Marilynne Robinson, The Givenness of Things. The Givenness of Things. It's a collection of essays, and this is the title of the book, The Givenness of Things. And I want to read to you a couple of things from it, because it's very helpful, at least it was for me. She says she's been reading Jonathan Edwards, and that Edwards was of the opinion that you could induce praise, just like you can induce labor if it doesn't come naturally. You could induce it. And so Edwards thought that when there was this overwhelming disconnect between the overwhelming love of God and an overwhelming gratitude for existence and the ravishing sense of the divine beauty that's manifested in creation, if there is that on the one hand, and on the other hand, you have a comparatively dull and meager experience of the unconverted life, then, Edwards says, it is right to induce in the congregation a state of mind or soul that would lift them out of their insensibility. And then she says, let me put that in secular words. Who can read, she says, about this speck of glittering planet in gravitational thrall to a star at the fringe of a whirl of galaxy in a roaring, surging universe that, as Edwards says, might be no more than a drop, a water drop, beside the grander systems that are possible, and not feel how minor and grudging our wonder is at what we are and what we can know and imagine. And then she adds, add to this the belief that we are created to marvel at creation and how bizarre it is that we fix our feelings on lesser things. To think about, to meditate on the gift of life. And all of us participate in it, right? And it makes an insect more complex than a star 10,000 times larger than the sun. Life. For all we know, this planet on which you and I live and in which we are participating is the only planet in this endless vast galaxy universe where apple trees bud, where songs are sung, where lovers speak tenderly to one another, where mothers smile babies into smiling. If a great star burns up, the universe is no different, at least not much. But if this tiny planet were to disappear, it would be an incomparable loss to the universe. Life. And here's the kicker. This life that is so astonishing, so unbelievable, so full of mystery. This life is loved by the Creator. We are loved by God. For God so loved this world that he gave his Son, right? To fix our minds on the gift and the giver loving us and loving this creation so that it redeems us from annihilation, from the darkness, and transfers us into the kingdom of his Son. This God comes to us and promises to us life, that our lives are now hidden with Christ in God, not disconnected from God, but hidden with Christ in God. So be thankful. Be thankful. Our text says, be thankful and let the message of Christ dwell in you. Or let the word of Christ, let the gospel of Christ dwell in you richly. Let that gospel take a hold of you. Let it be pounded and pondered deep into our hearts and lives so that we can be reminded of what it is that gives basis for praise and thanksgiving. You know, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God. Commentators will say that in the Scriptures, singing, songs, have two functions, two roles. On the one hand, they have the role of teaching. Many of the songs in the early church were simply, you know, hymns that like our songs, the songs that we sang today already, were to instruct us. But songs are not only means of instructions, they are also means of worship, of letting the heart soar, of giving voice to gratitude, so that we may have gratitude in our hearts. And here's where I'm going to close with a story. There's gratitude within our hearts. It suggests a praise that is not simply something that comes from the lips, but that is from our whole being. This past Wednesday, Carol and I were driving down the road, and we were listening to Terry Gross, Fresh Air. Maybe some of you have heard her before. Anyway, I'm thinking you have. And she was interviewing a fellow who had written a book about Sam Phillips, who was the founder of the record label Sun Records. I didn't know anything about him, but he discovered people like Elvis Presley and Jerry Lee Lewis and Howlin' Wolf. Howlin' Wolf. And in the conversation, this fellow said to Terry Gross that Howlin' Wolf was one of the two people that Sam Phillips most admired. And so Terry Gross says, well, tell us more about Howlin' Wolf. Well, back in the 70s, he was an African-American, and he would sing on a station in Memphis. And somebody in Memphis called up Sam Phillips and said, you should pick up his station, his singing. So he did. And when he heard, and it wasn't easy to hear, but when he heard Howlin' Wolf's voice, he said, listen, this is for me. This is it for me. This is where the soul of man never dies. And so Terry Gross says, well, tell us more about this. And so she's told that he came into the studio to record, And he was 6'4" and all muscle. And he had a very small voice. But when he started to sing, he didn't need a mic. And then Sam Phillips says, what was so amazing about him was that he was capable of performing for 3 or 4 minutes, however long the song was, and be completely lost in the song. He says, I know it's not a sophisticated term, but he says, it's what we all want to be now and again. Lost, lost in the work we do, so that we're not simply playing notes, but we're lost in the music. We're lost. It's not simply words we speak, but we're lost in the words. And it reminded me, of course, of that song that all of us know, Love Divine, All Love Excelling, where it ends by saying, and at the end of all times, we will take our crowns and throw them at his feet and be lost in wonder, love, and praise. Be thankful. Think of things that stir your heart to thankfulness, and celebrate God's goodness by giving thanks. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.